Well, thank you all for coming. It's always a privilege and an honor when Pastor opens his pulpit to me. I love it. I love sharing the Word of God. I love debating the Word of God. I think everybody does. It's born again. It's just fun. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for hungry people. I thank you that your Word is powerful. And Father, as we open up your Word, let us be partakers of it, take it to our hearts, and be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, praying about what to minister about tonight, you know, I have no new revelation, surprise. All I have is the Word of God. So a lot of scriptures you hear tonight, you've already heard, but you need to rehear them, and it's always good to share the Word, amen? So I came up with, in my spirit, man, more than conquerors, which we are, amen? And in everyday life, you look around and see what this world's turning into, and it's getting more wicked by the minute and by the hour. I mean, every time you hear the news, you're amazed at what people do to other people, you know, what people do to their children, the things people say. It's just incredible. And I'm thinking, Father, I know we're near the end times. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can almost taste it. You can almost use your five physical senses and know if you're born again and you got a pulse that the end times are near. So I'm thinking, it doesn't appear like we're conquering like we should. I want revival so bad, so bad. I remember when I first got saved and went to a church, grew real good there. It was the right place to be at the time, Pentecostal church. Scared me spitless half the stuff they did. And then things happened there, and we branched out with about seven other families and started a church, and it was a good time. We had a lot of intimate fellowship, really grew spiritually, and when it was time to disband that, we found Word of Life Church, and it was a good thing because we really, really grew in the Word of God. And I remember early on people like Gabriel Heyman. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a friend of Rodney Howard Brown, way before Rodney Howard Brown. And I loved his South African accent. And first couple meetings I was in, I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. You talk about the move of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And we've had a lot of meetings like that in Word of Life Church. And I look around now and go, what happened to those days? Where are they? Where are we conquering, Lord? What happened? And I think we get complacent. I think we get a little bit lazy, maybe. And I'm not here to step on toes. I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm here to encourage us. I'm here to get us excited. I'm here to get us stimulated. I'm here to pinch you. Is that all right? So I got a few scriptures. And I got a few things to say. So let's start in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Great scripture. Keep that in the forefront of your heart at all times, because in these end times, you're going to need that powerful seed in your life. He spared not his only Son, but delivered him up for all of us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So we're equipped. We're glorified. We're justified. Pastor's been preaching on righteousness. Wow, that has been really good. If you missed any of those sermons, I suggest go to the CD. We still give CDs away free? Yeah, so why not take advantage of them? Some powerful preaching on righteousness. And he said something that was really important, that without being rooted and established in righteousness, your faith is not going to work like it should. And I never realized that, but what a powerful, true statement that is. And so we need to be rooted and grounded in righteousness, because how are we going to operate in this world, in this end time revival? You know how lucky we are? We're going to be a part of that. And I know it scares people when you say, we're going to be out there ministering. You're going to be out there. Signs and wonders are going to follow the preaching when you do it. You're going to lay hands on the sick. You're going to cast out devils. I know that used to scare me too until you do it. But we're all called to that. You can't get away from that. I know as Christians we want to just, you know, work in the nursery, work on the band, you know, do our part, help on the ice cream truck and just kind of be out of bounds and let pastor do all the praying and all that. But sorry, you can't ignore 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 23. You know, we've been reconciled and we've been given the ministry of reconciliation and we are ambassadors for Christ. So I think what happens is we get empty. Look at Psalms 1 for me, please. I think what happens is we get promise box scriptures. We all know our favorite scriptures, amen. But I think sometimes we don't know the whole context of where they're at, or we miss parts of them, and we want to use like this one here. Whatever I put my hands to shall prosper. How many of you ever said that? I pray that every morning when I go to work. But there's a big important part of that in front of that, that if you don't do, that's not necessarily going to work. I'm not going to be a conqueror in that if I'm not complete in that. Amen. So it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Then he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaves will also not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Sometimes we forget to do part one, or we get so busy we don't have time to do part one. And I think that's a big issue. There's coming a time very soon that we need to consecrate more of our time to that. I know it's been on my heart really heavy, and I'm way too busy in too many things. I always loved it when I was young and thought, I can't wait till I get older or I got time to do everything I want to do. Right. Boy, did I have that backwards. I had way more time back then than I ever have now. So it gets tough, I know. It's hard to do that, you know. We look at pastor and go, oh, you got it made. You know, you can stay in the word all day long. And I'm sure he has busy days where he has to go back and double up on some of his feeding too. Amen. Amen. You know that, don't you? So, you know, I look at past ministers, and how many of you are familiar with Smith Wigglesworth? There's some neat footage on YouTube of Lester Summerall, who spent time with Smith Wigglesworth. And, you know, they said Smith was a little rough and gruff, but he was bold in my eyes. He was bold as a lion. He knew who he was in Christ, and he stayed full of God. He stayed full of the Word of God, and he planted the seed of God often. They say he never went more than 15 minutes without praying or reading the Word. Wow. I'm not quite there yet. I'm not quite there yet. I'm glad at doing it, you know, four times a day, you know. And Lester Summerall told the story of he had a healing line, and they brought this man that was on his deathbed with cancer, and Smith went over and just slapped him on the stomach, as he often did, and the guy let out a poof, and the doctor that brought him said, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. And Smith never even turned back looking. He was going on to the next person. He says, he's healed, he's healed, he's healed. And the guy got up off his deathbed and came back and went to Smith and said, I'm healed, I'm healed. And you know what Smith told him? Just worship God. He wasn't even acknowledging the fact that there was a miracle there. We freak out whenever we see a miracle. We should not be surprised by miracles. We should live in miracles. We should live by the Word of God. We need to know our authority and who we are as believers. Real important. And I think we dabble in it, but we forget it. I mean, we don't retain, 25% of what we learn in school? So the Word's no different. And I think that's because the cares of the world just mess us up. So just to review, you're going to hear me say a lot of things that I've said before, but some of you are new faces, so it's going to be the first time you hear some of my stuff, so I love it. I was always hung up as a young man and a young Christian doing the works that Jesus did because he was God and I'm not. I didn't understand that he walked the earth as man. And then he didn't do any miracles at all until he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So let's go there and let's review. And you're going to find that in Luke chapter 3. I love this stuff because it gets me excited about who I am, and it gives you the boldness to step forth. I think people are afraid to lay hands on people. They're afraid to pray for people just for a lack of knowledge. What if it doesn't work? What if I don't know what to say? What if they don't receive it? What if they get mad at me? Some will, on all those. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And I wish I'd have brought my Bible. It was falling all apart. Because I have everything highlighted, now I have to read and find it. Oh, and it would help if I was in Luke. No wonder it didn't look familiar. This is Jesus right after he got baptized and said, "And the Holy Ghost descended on him as a bodily shape like a dove, and a voice came from heaven and said, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" That's the day Jesus received the Holy Spirit from heaven. That's the day he started doing miracles. That's the day he started walking in the authority that God gave him. That's the day, as a normal man, he became empowered by God. Have you been empowered by God? Well, don't get ahead of me. So, and then skip over to chapter 4. You can read all through that. That's where he was tempted. The devil come immediately and try to steal what was laid on him. And all those temptations were something Jesus wanted, or they would not have been a temptation. You can't tempt me with something I don't want. So everything that he laid out in front of Jesus was something that he wanted. But he wanted to do it the way God had set forth so it would work. Because if he'd have bowed to Satan, it would have been over for all of us. So in verse 1 of chapter 4 in Luke, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing." Okay, so you can read on all about that and skip down to verse 14, I believe. There. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." That's how he did all the miracles. So that freed me up, because I thought, well, if Jesus walked as a man and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit and that's when he started doing miracles, then I can do that. Amen. Remember when Jesus was assembled in the book of Acts before he ascended onto heaven? He commanded them to go to Jerusalem and be filled with the Spirit. About 500 of them. 120 showed. And that's okay. That Spirit still goes on today. Not everybody wants it. There are still people fighting. There's all different denominations. And that's okay. Jesus still loved the people that didn't show up, and they're probably still going to make heaven, but they're not going to be endued with power from on high to be a witness in all the land. So how many are filled with the Holy Spirit? So you have the power to witness. Even if you don't feel like it. Even if you're not sure what to say. You know, you may never have all the words. It amazes me. I can be somewhere and talk to somebody and, you know, all of a sudden we'll start talking about the Word of God. And stuff just comes up out of you that you didn't even know you had. And you never lack for words to say. Even the most timid person. And I'm always blown away by that. That's the power of God that's in you. And the power of the Word, the gospel, is the power unto salvation, isn't it? So all you have to do is read your word and be full and have a well to pull from. And even if you don't, the Holy Ghost will take up your slack. So don't be afraid. Acts 10:38, my most favorite scripture, I think. Of course, how many times have you heard people say that about every scripture they read? But this is the one that ties it all together, where we just read in Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4. I'm never going to preach without my favorite Bible again. I'm going to have to glue it together. Actually, my daughter bought me a replacement, and I've been deciding all through the years whether to mark it up, copy the one I already marked up, or remark it up new. And I think after 2 years, the answer is mark it up like the other one, because that's the one I always fall to. Anyway, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of God. And here, I love this last line. Because God was with him. So who did the work? God backed up his son, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he was led. He only did what he saw the Father do. And you need to be led too. I think the problem here is when we minister to people. And please, 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 if you're a baby Christian, or you know you aren't arrived to a certain place, do not be offended. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But if you want to grow, there are certain areas that we need to talk about. A lot of times we don't know what we should do in certain situations. We have authority. Which authority do we use? Should we bind something? Should we lose something? Should we find somebody to get an agreement with? Is it something we just speak? Do we pray? Or do we command? See, I think that's where we get messed up. And we have failures, and we go, this doesn't work. I'm not anointed. It's not for me. That should be for somebody else, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. They do that. They get results, but I'm not getting results. So I think we back away. I know I certainly have. But it's because we're missing some word. Jesus was our example, wasn't it? So let's read and see how he did it. He didn't pray for sickness. You know, we all the time we're sick, we call a prayer chain. And everybody starts praying. Heal him, Father, heal him, God. He's already done that. You're praying a prayer that ain't going to work. What did he say? Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. What if it don't work? You're not God. I love what Mark Hankins said. You're the believer. He's the performer. I've laid hands on people and it didn't work. And then I've laid hands on people and it worked. And I was amazed. Because I didn't think they would receive it. But they were in a more of a mode to receive than I was to give. So you never know. That's where you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's where you need to be prayed up. I love this story. We were out to eat with a band member from Rodney Howard Brown's church a long time ago. And he told a story that after church, Rodney Howard Brown went out with a bunch of his deacons, if you want to call that, and you know, fellow board members and people that were high up in the church. And they're all sitting there to eat lunch. And he asked one of the brothers to pray. And don't get offended if you pray this way, please. I'm just trying to drive home a point. And so he started praying over the food. We're supposed to be what? Thank God, bless the food, right? So he's praying for all the missionaries that they supported and, you know, the good worship they had that morning. And he goes on and on with his long prayer while everybody's food's getting cold. And Brother Rodney looked at him and said, no, go on, pray some more. Oh, now that encouraged him. So off he goes, you know. Now he's praying about the world and every pastor and every ministry and da-da-da-da-da-da. And he comes to a close and he goes, come on, keep going. And so he prays one more time. And then when he's done, Rodney Howard looked at him and said, now next time come prayed up. It was a little embarrassing to him. But that wasn't the time to pray about the world. That's something you should do every day in your prayer closet, in your own time, not over the food. And I'm in agreement with that, because when I'm hungry, thank you, Father, for this food. Bless it to our body and nourishment. Amen, let's eat.
Amen.
Y'all are all right with that? Okay, good. Why do we have to, you know, praying's a funny thing because, is that me? I think we, not consciously, but, you know, we have to show that we're really good at praying. We know all the words, all the right phrases, and, you know, who are you trying to impress? Get to the point, pray what you're praying about, and don't butter it up with all these, thous, those, and thuses. You know, you don't speak Elizabethan English, you know. The devil's always trying to interrupt, but we bind him in the name of Jesus. So sometimes we need to pray for situations. Sometimes we need to pray in agreement with people about their situations. But if it's sickness or disease, just lay hands on them, cast that thing out. That's what Jesus did. He never once prayed for anybody that was sick. So why should we? He's our example, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Philippians 4:13. Let's go there. I did write that page number down. Cheated a little bit. As you get up here and you get in the spirit and things get fuzzy, you've heard pastors talk about that, and it's true. Where in the world is Philippians? There it is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, it says in the King James Version. I like the King James Version. Because Christ is not his name. It's his title. How many of you have a big fat concordance? Anybody? Or are y'all using the internet? I love a concordance because it promotes you to study more. You go, you look up a word in that and find out, you know, if it's an Old Testament, it's in Hebrew. If it's New Testament, it's Greek. And you find out what that word really meant in the original writing. Then you get excited about, well, what does this other word mean in the original writing? And before you know it, you got 2 hours gone by and you learned something. But if you look up Christ in the New Testament in Greek, it's the word Messiah. And if you look up Messiah in the Hebrew, which is what the Greek word was derived from, it means the anointed one. So let's reread that properly. I can do all things through the anointed one, which strengthens me. Not who. Which is the right word, not who. So it's the anointing we desire. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that helps us to minister. And having the word of God as our seed to pull from, that's the right way to minister. So if you're not there, that's okay. Say, I'm not here to bust any chops. I'm just here to encourage you and pinch you and get you moving in the right direction. So then the other thing was the people read and go, well, that was great. That was for the disciples. That was way back then, and those 12, they were special. Okay, well, I got another scripture for you then in John 8:28. I think that's right. Yep. Let's skip down to verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He was ministering to a bunch of Jewish people, and they believed on him, and they got born again. And then he said, if you believe on me and you continue in my words, then you are my disciples. So does that describe you? Are you a disciple of God? So then everything that the disciples got told, does that apply to you? You betcha. Should we change mics? Should I stick it in my pocket? Maybe I'm just moving around too much. No, that made it worse. Switch pockets? As a mechanic, I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work, but I'll just try and stand still, but I can't make any promises. John 14, verse 12. All familiar scriptures, I hope. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me and the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And then he talks in the next rest of that verse about sending the Holy Spirit as a helper and a comforter. So we can, and we are able to do the works that Jesus did. Now, maybe we all haven't arrived at that point, but I think we need to strive for that. So, greater works will we do by the Spirit of God. Learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's not hard. I had the great privilege of ministering at the Orlando Rescue Mission for about 7 years. We'd go down there on a Saturday night and have a little worship service. They only gave us a half hour, so that was kind of tough. So we showed up, we usually ministered from 7 to 7:30. So we showed up at 6 o'clock with a piano and a keyboard and some microphones and set that up and started worshiping God and all that time. And then the men would come because they were welcome. And the reason they did it, they wanted to get everybody put into bed and all that. So, and some people took advantage, and they used to give an hour, but some people went over. But it was always a good time. And it was scary because I had first started ministering the Word of God to people. And street people, you know, they just look at you. No emotion. And that's hard, of course, so you learn not to preach by emotion, because you never know what somebody's receiving from you or not by the look on their face. I remember Kenneth Copeland telling a story where he preached and they had one little dim light bulb, and, you know, he couldn't see anybody's faces, so he didn't know how they were responding, and it set him free, actually. But we were ministering at the end of the service, and a fellow come up to me. We're in a circle, and I asked him what he came up to receive, and he said to me, I just want to die and go home and be with the Lord. And I wasn't ready for that, and I didn't know what to say. Of course, thoughts go through you, and I know some of you have heard this before. Thoughts go through you. Do you lay hands on him and say, as your faith, so be it unto you? And he falls over dead, and the rest of the line just goes back and sits down. That's what I thought. So I didn't know what to do. So I started praying in the Spirit, very lightly, because they don't believe in that down there, and they requested you didn't do it. So I just, and looking back now, it was a prophecy. I did it in tongues, and then I interpreted it. And I got one word: I've called you. And I'm thinking, this guy was, you know, a street guy. He was dirty. He was old. He had, you know, he didn't look like anybody that God would call. Because, you know, we have a different perception, like the Sadducees. That's a whole other story. We had a Bible study last night, and I'll maybe share that with you later. But I said what I felt in my spirit: I've called you. And if you can, and then you get the rest of the words, which is kind of cool. So that's something you got to learn to flow with. It scares you, spitless, first time it happens to you. And he said, I've called you, and if you keep praying that prayer, I'll have to honor it, but I want to restore you and put you back into ministry. The guy was an old preacher that fell away from God and got into drugs and got on the street, and God restored him. And I didn't know that till later, but he just sat down and just broke it and wept. And another time we were there, a guy come up to me, and he was sad. It was around Christmas time, and he was away from his family, and his family had disowned him, and da-da-da-da-da, and I got in my spirit, call him now, they'll receive you with gladness. And he's, okay, yeah, good, I'll call him this week. And, whoo, inside, just a, call him now, and they'll receive you with gladness. Okay, well, they won't let me use the phone here. Call him now, and they'll receive you with gladness. And he went away. And so we put the equipment back up, and we're out in the car, and he comes running out. Man of God, I just called my parents, and they're so glad to see from me. They're sending me a ticket to go home and for the holidays and all that. And, man, when God uses you that way, that's cool. And so I encourage you all to start stepping out. I know, you know, it's not your comfort zone. I know, you know, I've never done it before. I'm not sure how to do it. Just try it. You're going to have some failures. That's okay. That's how you learn. And how can you go wrong trying to minister God's love? You know, there's no way to go wrong with that. And I think today, it's so needed. The youth of America are so misguided. And I think you got to be really, really prayed up. I think we're all going to have to up our game in prayer because they're tough. Millennials think different. They're instantaneous. They're in an instantaneous world. So if we're going to be working instantaneously, we got to be so charged up with the Holy Ghost and so sensitive to his prompting to minister to the need of these young kids. Yeah? Yeah. Because I have a lot of them that come into work, and I just, wow. I don't understand the way they talk. Yeah. I hit a wall, and my car doesn't run right now. Okay, so it's not running good? Well, it runs okay, but when I'm driving down the road, it doesn't drive good. So it doesn't drive good. Yeah, it doesn't run right. Never mind. Just leave it. We'll check it out. Give me your phone number. Go to 2 Corinthians 3, please. I love them, though. They're full of energy. Why is it so hard to find pages when you're up here at the pulpit? Second Corinthians chapter 3, where are you? Let's start with verse 5. I know I didn't give you that, but if you could back up, please, that would be good. Make it 4. I learned that from Pastor. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that our sufficiency is of ourselves to think of anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. That's you. That's me. We are able ministers of the New Testament. In 2 Colossians 2:10, we are complete in him. We have everything we need to be ministers of God. So, I think that's all I have. Might get out a little early tonight. Don't tell Pastor. But I challenge you all to draw closer to God and reach out and minister to somebody, anybody. Start somewhere. Family members are probably tough. Let somebody else do your family and then you do theirs. I don't know why that is. It just is. My father-in-law's here. That wasn't directed at him. Him and I get along real well, actually. But you got to constantly be in prayer. And then don't forget this too. Some people are bound by a spirit. So use that binding and loosing and bind that spirit of infirmity off of them. And then you'll be able to be free to witness to them. Because if they're bound by a spirit, they might not necessarily want to hear what you have to say. They need to be free first so they can hear. Amen? So I hope you got something out of this. I'd love sharing the words with you. And be blessed, be strong, be bold, and be more than a conqueror. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this powerful message by Pastor Daryl Morgan. We hope it blesses you. If you would like more info on Word of Life, sermons, and free downloads, please go to wordoflifeapopka.com. Thank you and have a blessed day.